Great night tonight in the way of Bible study. Again, Pastor Roddy and I have done, this is our ninth time this week, and he's actually taught this class eight different times. Every time he's done it, it's been different. So I'm looking forward to tonight. A great friend of our ministry, Rodney Finch from Calvary Chapel in Cary, North Carolina, where just a few weeks ago we did a Harvest Crusade right in his backyard. So he'll have some great praise reports about that. But before Rodney comes up, we've got some man on the street interviews where we just kind of walk out onto the sidewalk in Southern California, so there'll be odd Southern California answers, but I don't know that they'd be much different here in the Central Valley. And we ask people questions about God and the Bible, and do you believe in prayer? And the question we ask them this evening is, who is God to you, or do you even believe in God? So we'll run that clip right now, and then Pastor Rodney will come up and do the Bible study part.
These classes that you're about to participate in are divided into three sections: upward, inward, and outward. First, we're going to talk about upward, God's impact on me. Who is God? That's an important question we need to answer. So welcome to class number one.
No. I've never been religious.
I think God's a part of everything, and we're all a part of God. Absolutely. Everything living.
He is the almighty being. He's a spiritual being who takes care of our needs and created us.
The almighty above, the creator of the world, everything, I guess.
Who is God? He's like the higher belief that created the world and everyone in it.
I don't believe that there is one.
Not at all.
Isn't that Jesus Christ, right? Or no, that's his dad. Yeah.
God is no one.
No, he's a higher being, I would say.
God. Somebody is very strong. That's very strong. You know, obviously, he built all this. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be here.
Not God. You know, Christians believe if you don't believe in God, then you're going to hell, right? Well, that's what they've told me. And so I don't think that all the Buddhist people in the world are going to hell.
Oh, I'm Buddhist, so.
Oh, that's Buddhist. See,
yeah. So I believe there's a God, but not the type of God that the Christians believe in.
Everything comes from somewhere, and basically that's God is where I think it comes from.
I believe there's something out there. I don't exactly know what.
I believe in God. I'm non-denominational. I don't believe in any organized religion.
Well, maybe a God and a goddess, but I don't know. Maybe a God and a goddess?
I don't believe in God. Just because, I don't know, I think the world's pretty messed up as it is, so I don't see how someone that, you know, is so good or whatever supposedly can have stuff like this happen.
Okay, you know, I really don't want to Pastor Damien Kyle. Where are you? Are you in his room? There you are. I don't want to seem needy, Pastor, but I really feel very short behind this pulpit. And I was just wondering if you have like a pulpit for shorter people. I actually am feeling very discriminated against right now. If you're happy to be here, clap your hands, would you? Good to see you. Good evening. We are really, 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 I feel super short behind this pulpit. This is like, this is throwing me off. This is a trip. Okay. Oh, y'all got nice stuff in this church. This is wonderful. Can I be here? Is this okay? All right. Can I have a mic stand? And I could feel not so short. Can I use a mic stand here? Is that okay, sound people? Is that all right? Okay, good. While they give me, I'm going to stand right here with a music stand, and then I'll be good to go. I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. First of all, I want to bring you greetings from your brothers and your sisters. See how much nicer that is. Hallelujah. Ask and you shall receive. Thank you, Jesus. And bring you greetings, really, seriously, from your brothers and sisters in Raleigh, North Carolina, y'all. All the way. And it's hot here. It is so hot here, and it's hot there too, and it's hot and dry here. We are so excited. I'm so excited tonight, I can't tell you. I'm gonna bust. And I'm really excited because, one, I get to go home tomorrow. amen. And two, God has just done a wonderful, wonderful work this week. It has been a wonderful time going into various churches and in the Central Valley. I'd never been in the Central Valley before. I'm originally from Philadelphia. I lived in Temecula, California for 12, 15 years, something like that. I was 13 years in the U.S. Navy, stationed with the Marine Corps. Go Navy. Hospital Corpsman, baby. And any Marines in here? There you go. Yeah, me and you, man. Oh, wow.
Pay no attention.
I'm getting to pay no attention to the man in the middle. Thank you. And, you know, we, 13 years in the Navy, and went to Saudi Arabia, spent some time there, stationed at Camp Pendleton, California. So it's good for me to be back here. I've never been to the Central Valley before. Good to be back in California. We are on the heels, talking about excitement. We are just about a month out now from our Harvest Crusade in Raleigh, North Carolina. And listen, get your hands ready. Get your hands ready, just like this. Get your hands ready. I'm going to keep saying this till you all do it, including the sound people. Including the sound. They like to not do stuff, you know what I mean? Get your hands ready. 43,000 people at the stadium in Raleigh came to our event. Clap your hands.
Isn't that awesome?
And get your hands ready, get your hands ready, get your hands ready, get your hands ready. 2,800 commitments to Christ that weekend. It's awesome. We had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time as God did an amazing work. And it's such a privilege for me. Listen, you know, it is a privilege for me to be here tonight because I believe in evangelism. And I believe in what Jesus told us to do. Jesus told us to go into the world and preach the gospel. And the Harvest Crusade is one of many ways in which we can take the gospel into the world. And I'm excited about what God is going to do here because you need to understand something, that this whole Harvest Crusade is so much more than just Greg Laurie coming into town. He's going to preach the gospel and then blow and keep going, and people are going to get saved and whatever. It is so much more than that. Listen, that's an igniting of your faith. You're going to be so supercharged after you see people give their life to Christ. You know, I've been a Christian for 25 years. And when I saw people making their way down the floor when Pastor Greg gave that altar call, tears start flowing from my eyes. I'm not one of those people that, you know, so often we become stale in our Christianity and we become crusty Christians. You could say amen. And it's like, oh, well, they got saved. Yeah, 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 that's good. People gave their life to Christ. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, that's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You know, it's transforming. It's amazing. It's beautiful. As people, I could see in the spirit, people going down on that floor, and I could see lives in the spirit being transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light right before my very eyes. And if that doesn't move you and get you emotional, something wrong with you. It's a beautiful thing. Your faith is going to be ignited. Not only that, but your community is going to be united. What do you mean, Rodney? I mean, right now, tonight, I want to say about 75% of the people in here tonight attend this church, but there's 25% of the people in here tonight that do not attend this church, and they are your brothers and sisters. Already, we've seen the churches coming together. Already, I've talked to pastors in this community who have that desire. Forget about what, you know, we have our little denominational differences. It's one body of Christ. And we all have one thing in common. And as we all love Jesus, somebody clap their hands, would you? We all love Jesus. so I'm excited. I bring you greetings from Raleigh, North Carolina. And let me tell you something. When I got down to Raleigh, there's one thing I learned, y'all. They have a different language down there. I had to pray for the gift of interpretation. They have a different language down south. And one thing I did learn, I've been telling all of the churches, and this is my ninth and final time telling the churches, that they have this one word, hey. And they use the word hey for almost anything. Hey means, if you've ever been to Raleigh, wave at me, would you? If you know where Raleigh, North Carolina is, wave at me. Okay, I just gave you the answer. It's in North Carolina. Okay, wave at me, all right? All right, if you're familiar with Andy Griffith, wave at me, would you? Okay, good. And I get down south and I realize that this word hey is used for everything. You walk in a room, you say hey. You say, how you doing? You can just say hey. If you say, you know, I love you and I want to marry you, you can say hey. I mean, it's like amazing. So, and that's the way that you officially, North Carolinians, make each other feel comfortable. So I would walk into the room. Let's do a little test drive. I walk into the room and I say to you, hey, and you say?
Hey.
Very good. Now, there's one thing got to add to it, right? You got to throw the hand up when you say it, all right? And if you don't throw the hand up, it's really not official. So I don't even receive it if you don't throw the hand up. Okay, so you walk in the room, you go, hey, y'all, and you do?
Hey.
Okay, you got to add the y'all in there now, okay? Boy, tough crowd, tough crowd. All right, so I walk in and go, hey, y'all, and you say?
Hey, y'all.
Give yourselves a big hand. That was really, really good. Wonderful things happening. Before we get started in our Bible study tonight, let me read you a story. I collect illustrations, and in our church, I like to read them as I have opportunity. And this particular one I'm going to read to you has been working in the churches, so let me give it a shot on you, all right? This is a story of a school teacher in England who accepted a job over in Switzerland in a small community. Well, she went to interview for the job, and they accepted her. Well, she went there, and she began to look for an apartment to live in, and when she found the apartment, she went back home to England to pack her bags and prepare to move. And while being back home, she didn't remember seeing a bathroom in the apartment. Now, in England, they call the bathroom the water closet or the WC. So she wrote back to the head schoolmaster in Switzerland, and she asked if there was a WC in or near the apartment. Well, the schoolmaster didn't know what the WC meant, so he went and asked one of his ministers if they knew what the WC was, and they came to the conclusion that she must be talking about the Wayside Church. So this was the response the schoolmaster wrote back to her. The WC is located 9 miles from the house in the heart of a beautiful row of trees. It will seat 150 at one time. It's open on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. Some people bring their lunch and make a day of it. On Thursday, there's an organ accompaniment. The acoustics are very good. The slightest sound can be heard by everyone. It may interest you, he wrote, that my daughter met her husband at the WC. And then he said, my wife, being quite delicate, hasn't been able to attend regularly. It's been about 6 months since she last went. Naturally, it pains her not to be able to go more often. Funny? What do you think? Funny? Yeah, funny. Okay. Father, we love you tonight. Come on, pray with me, saints. Lord, we bless you. I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for the work that you're going to do in our hearts tonight as we give ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church tonight. I pray, Lord, for Pastor Damien as he leads his body in this fellowship, Lord, that you give him wisdom and bless us, Lord, as we hear what you have to say. Teach us, God, in a new and fresh and living way who you are. We bless you tonight and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people agree and said,
amen.
Amen. Here we are in week one, and I'm going to talk to you about, listen, my favorite subject, God. I love to talk about God. I'm an outline person. If you've got a pen and you've got a pad, I'm going to ask you to get it out right now. and we'll take some notes. But tonight I'm going to give you three very important things talking about God. I'm going to give you three very important things about God, which you will find in your impact guides and your syllabus. Number one, if you're taking notes, we're going to talk about the person of God. And you'll find that on page 8 in your syllabus. Secondly, we'll talk about the plan of God. And you'll find that on page 9 in your impact guides. You kind of peruse with me here. And then finally tonight, we'll talk about the purpose of God. You'll find that on page 11. The person of God, page 8. The plan of God, page 9. And the purpose of God, page 11. If you have your Bibles with you, if you wouldn't mind taking it and turning now to Psalm 139. As a little bit, we'll get to it. We're going to hear what David has to say about who God is, the nature, characteristics, attributes of who God is in Psalm 139. We'll come back to that in just a minute. Oh, I love to hear the sound of pages turning. Bible pages, that is. So first of all, we'll talk about the person of God in on page 8. Give me your attention, saints, if you will. We all know the story found in the book of Exodus. As God told Moses, y'all give me some help. God told Moses to go tell Pharaoh what? Let my people go. And it was at that time that Pharaoh began to mock God. And Pharaoh said in Exodus chapter 5, just about verse 2, Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" Pharaoh began to mock God. And saints, you know, unfortunately, there are people still today, men and women, throughout the ages, who mock God. But can I tell you something? God always has the last word. Let me read you a couple of quotes from some people throughout time, throughout history, that have mocked God. Perhaps you know the name John Lennon. During an interview with American Magazine, get this, John Lennon said, "Christianity will end. It will disappear. I do not have to argue about that. I am certain Jesus was okay, but his subjects were too simple. Today, we, the Beatles," Lennon said, "are more famous than Jesus." He said that in 1966. After saying that the Beatles were more famous than Jesus Christ, he was shot 6 times. The man who built the Titanic. After the construction of the Titanic, a reporter asked him how safe the Titanic would be. With an arrogant tone, he said, "Not even God can sink this ship." Well, I think we all know what happened with the Titanic. And then Marilyn Monroe, she was visited by Billy Graham during a presentation of a show, as God sent him to share the gospel with her. And after hearing what the preacher had to say, she said, "I don't need your Jesus." And a week later, she was found dead in her apartment. Bon Scott, the ex-vocalist for AC/DC, on one of his 1979 songs, he sang, "Don't stop me, I'm going all the way down the highway to hell." On the 19th of February, 1980, Bon Scott was found dead as he had been choked in his own vomit. And then there's a German philosopher, his name is Friedrich Nietzsche. He lived during the 1900s. And Friedrich Nietzsche declared that God is dead. Well, shortly after making that statement, he began to lose his mind and was committed to an insane asylum where he committed suicide. In the 1960s Time magazine, get this, article, a picture in this Time magazine showed a wall in a New York subway that was spray-painted graffiti, "God is dead, sign Nietzsche." Someone else came along and spray-painted an X through that statement and put underneath it, "Nietzsche is dead, sign God." Well, I tell you all that to tell you this. Men may mock God, but God always has the last word. Galatians chapter 6, right about verse 7, it tells us, "Do not be deceived." Matter of fact, it's on the screen. Would you mind reading it with me? "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap." Listen, Pharaoh mocked God. He said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" Well, final answer, Pharaoh, listen, He's the King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords. And because, listen, God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we should seek to know Him. There is nothing more important, listen, than knowing God. There's nothing more important than knowing God. Because in knowing God, it affects the way you live. In knowing God, it affects how your life will go. See, when you know God and you understand who God is, then you'll have a better life. So people ask the question often, can God be known? One guy said to me, okay, Rodney, I get it. I understand what you're saying, but can God really be known? I mean, God is like the cosmic guy. He's like way out there. Can God truly be known? Well, we took a camera and a microphone to the streets to ask that very question. Can God be known? Let's check out the video. I'll come back and have a couple of comments.
You could probably, but I don't see how anyone could like really know who God is.
I'm spiritual to a certain level. I mean, I go to church and I worship Him, but I'm not into death really right now. I need some guidance.
There's no way for sure to know whether God exists or not. You just have, it's something that you have to kind of believe.
Do you and how do you know God?
Good question. I don't know if I know Him, but I think I do, and I just it's kind of a feeling you get. I don't know.
I figure after you die, you're gonna meet up with God. It's my personal belief.
How do you know God?
Personally? Well, you don't really know Him. I think that it's just like a belief, like you just know He's there. You haven't really met Him, but the presence is always known, especially when you need Him.
So you consider yourself a spiritual person?
Very.
Very spiritual.
And I got the Virgin Mary right here.
So,
Virgin Mary.
I'm not too strong with my faith. I mean, I do believe some things, and I do believe in God, but I'm just not too strong on it.
Like, I believe in a higher being, just not God. Like, I believe in some type of higher force. Well, I mean, look around. Like, if you look at a big, huge mountain, what created that? I don't know, but I don't think it was some, like, white guy named God.
Gotta watch out for the white guy named God. Ooh, man, the white guy named God. I've been watching out for him for years. Can God be known? That's one of my favorite clips, by the way. Can God be known? Listen, of course He can be known. And God makes Himself known in this book that we call the B-I-B-L-E. Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth. The Bible is God's word to man. Prayer is our words to God. And those two things coupled together, we have a relationship with God. We fellowship with God. God has communicated to man and has given us many, many, many passages and verses that we can know who God is. First of all, God is omniscient. David has a lot to say about who God is. I want you to look at Psalm 139. I had you turn there in Psalm 139, and we're going to read together just about verse 1 through 12, and then we'll come back and have a few comments. In Psalm 139, saints, this is how we do in our church. Psalm 139, looking at verse 1, if you're looking at it, say amen. Amen. O Lord, David writes, you have searched me. Would you circle that in your neighbor's Bible? Go ahead, I'll wait. You have searched me, David says, and you've known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off, and you comprehend my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, in verse 4, O Lord, you know it altogether. You know, I write in my Bible, and I have written in my margin, that's scary. Amen. God knows every word that comes out of your mouth. You know, that can be scary. Not less praise and blessings coming out of your mouth. David says, God, you know every word on my tongue. And you've hedged me in verse 5 behind and before. and you've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Notice that worshiping heart David has. You laid your hand on me. Such knowledge is just too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? And where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, Lord, you're there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. And if I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. And if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. Stop right there, saints. Give me your attention. Talking about the nature, the characteristics. Can God be known? Well, David tells us here, first of all, let's talk about some attributes. Let me give you four attributes, characteristics about the nature of God. Number one, we know that God is omniscient. God is omniscient. What does that mean, Rodney? Well, that simply means, listen, that God knows everything. Did you know that? God knows everything. Notice in verse 1 again in Psalm 139, David writes, O Lord, you have searched me and you've known me. You know my sitting down and you know my rising up and you understand my thoughts afar off. You know, in the Hebrew language, that word searched, I had you circle it. It means to dig through. It means that God digs through us. Did you know that God digs you? Isn't that cool? God not only loves you, but he likes you. And he digs through you. He digs right through you. He sees right through you. God knows everything. I mean, think about that. God is never surprised. God never says, I didn't know that. God never says, wow, that's deep. God never says, uh-huh. God never says, oh my God, I can't believe it. He'd be saying, oh myself, I can't believe it. God never learns anything. God doesn't need a computer. He doesn't need a calculator. God knows everything. He doesn't need a BlackBerry. Man, I can't live without my BlackBerry. God knows everything. Past, present, and future. Why? Because he is omniscient. Number two, not only is God omniscient, but God is omnipotent. Well, what does that mean? Well, that's just a big word to say that God is all-powerful. I draw your attention to the memory verse in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. Jeremiah says, ah, Lord God. I love that exclamation point. Ah, Lord God. Behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for you. Isn't that good news, saints? There is nothing too hard for God. What is your situation tonight? What are you going through? What's going on in your home, or what's going on in your job, or what's going on in your situation or your circumstance? Listen, there's nothing too hard for God. God can do anything. God can work on your husband. God can work on your wife. He can even work on the kids. I have 5 children, 7 grand girls, y'all. Pray for me. Fast and pray for me. Father's Day, I was surrounded by estrogen. It was everywhere. And beautiful family, God's blessed us. Nothing's too hard for God, listen. No matter what you're going through tonight, no matter what your situation is, God can fix it because he has the power. Rodney, you don't understand what I'm going through. No, I don't. But God does because he's omnipotent and he's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows what you're going through and he has all power and he's able to work on your circumstance and your situation. Amen, saints. God is omnipotent. Not only is God omniscient and omnipotent, but God is omnipresent. And that simply means that God is present everywhere at the same time. Again, I bring your attention to Psalm 139 in verses 7 through 12. Look at verse 7 in your Bibles as David says, "Where can I go from your spirit and where can I flee from your presence?" Well, not only does God know me, but God is with me. And David understands to escape God is impossible. Three things about the presence of God, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Number one, God is unlimited by space. Number two, God is undaunted by speed. Notice David says, if I travel on the wings of the morning, or if I travel as fast as the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, you cannot get away from God. Not only is God unlimited by space and undaunted by speed, but God is unaffected by darkness. The darkness cannot separate you from the presence of God. You know, it reminds me of a story of these children who were lined up in the Catholic cafeteria for lunch. And at the head of the table was a large pile of apples. Well, the nun made a note and she posted it on the apple tray and it said, "Take only one. God is watching." Well, moving further down the lunch line at the other end of the table was a large pile of chocolate chip cookies, and a child had written a note, "Take all you want, God is watching the apples." God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at one time. Not only is he omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent, but finally, listen, God is immutable. What does that mean? That simply means that God doesn't change. Isn't that great? People change. Your boss may change. Your husband, your wife, your children, they may change. But God never changes. Your pastor may change. Your church may change. People pretty much will change. Give them some time. But God never changes. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, one of my favorites, "For I am the Lord and I do not change." Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ, do you know this verse? Jesus Christ is what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. And God is immutable. You'll find some additional attributes of God's nature at the bottom of page 8 and the top of page 9. Point number 2, we talk about the plan of God. The plan of God at the bottom of page 9 in your syllabus. The plan of God is to bring the gospel to the world. The word gospel means what, saints? Good news. Good news. The gospel is good news. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 3 is the gospel in a nutshell, and it's a memory verse for you, 1 Corinthians 15:3. "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." The gospel message. You know, one of the most famous verses and most often quoted verses in the Bible is John chapter 3 verse 16. If you know it, would you quote it with me? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That is a great verse. "For God so loved the world." My mom, single parent, I'm the son of a single parent, my mother, she worked hard to put us through Catholic school. She wanted us to get a good education. And I was having lunch with a pastor today. We were talking about Catholic school and, you know, if you went to Catholic school, you know you probably have very good handwriting. They call it penmanship. That's a word you haven't heard in a while, isn't it? Penmanship. And that's because in Catholic school, the nuns, boy, they make you write the right way. They make you hold that pen, and if you don't hold that pen just the right way, I don't know what. Maybe when you became a nun, they gave you like a bionic arm with a retractable ruler. And if you were like doing the, you know, getting your notes together, and you had the pen wrong, but the nuns came out of nowhere, that ruler was like, and you went, and you held that pen right. And we went through Catholic school, and my mom worked hard to put us through Catholic school, and my mom was, she worked in a high-grade ballpark Franks. They plump when you cook them. Y'all remember those? They plump when you cook them, and she used to pack those hot dogs, and she used to bring them home from work, and to the day, y'all, I can't stand a hot dog. Somebody asked me, they said, now you mean to tell me at a ball game, you will not eat a hot dog? I will run from a hot dog. Well, then she got a better job. We were moving on up. But she got a better job, and she started working at Silver King Steak Place, where she was packing steaks. And, boy, I'd tear a steak up today. Can I get a witness? I'd tear. And my mom worked hard, put us through Catholic school. My father was a drug dealer and some kind of kingpin in Philadelphia, where I'm from, and my mom did everything she could to work hard to keep us away from him and that lifestyle. And I still wind up doing drugs. I started doing drugs when I was 10 years old. I did drugs all the way through junior high and high school. Decided to join the Navy, and for the first several years in the military, I was doing drugs, and I was busted and put in jail for a while and put through drug rehab and been through all of that. But then January 23rd, 1982, 7:30 p.m. at the Friendly Church of God in Christ in Oceanside, California, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And it was that night my life was changed. And my life was changed. And my life was changed in such a radical way. I've been telling this story every single church that I've gone to, because I believe that there is power in your testimony. And the Bible tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and what, saints? The word of our testimony. Don't stop giving your testimony, because the accuser of the brother and Satan wants to silence you. So you stop telling people about Jesus. You keep telling people about what God has done in your life, because it's what God has done in your life that is unarguable fruit. You cannot argue with me about the change that has happened in my life 25 years ago. You can argue about the Bible all you want and the infallibility of Scripture all you want, but you cannot argue with a changed life. You can't argue with fruit. And I'm telling you, my life was changed. And I'm telling you, God did some radical things in my life. I remember I used to cuss like a sailor, y'all. I was one. It kind of went along with the sailor thing. And I remember the night I became a Christian, I went back to the BEQ because I was stationed at Camp Pendleton, California, and I was living in the barracks. And I went back to the BEQ. It must have been about 11, 12 o'clock at night. I got back and I got on the side of my bed and my rack. And I got down there and I said, well, God, I said, it's me, Rodney. And because nobody taught me how to pray. I mean, you're just, you know, going at this thing. And I said, well, it's me. And I just got saved a little while ago over there at the Friendly Church of God in Christ. And you know, we give God the details, you know. And, you know, I think, you know, God, I need your help here. Like, you know, I've been a Christian for like 2 hours, and I think like the bad language thing and the cursing is probably not a good Christian thing. I don't know. What do you think? And so if you could help a brother out, that would be good. And I think I'm supposed to say in Jesus' name, amen. And God answers very simple prayers. You don't have to have all the right words. Somebody say amen. You don't have to have all the right words. Do you know from that night forward, I have never, it's been 25 years, I have never used a bad word ever. Not even when I stubbed my toe. Isn't that awesome? And God changed my life. I mean, you know, I left work. I like to tell people I left work on a Friday, and I was like, you know, I left work on Friday. I used to work in the office. I blankety blank, 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 see you guys, blankety blank on Monday, blankety blank, you know. I came to work on Monday morning, and I walked in the office, and God had done such a radical work. I was so new Christian zeal without according to knowledge. I walked in the office, and I said, excuse me. I would like to get everyone's attention, please. I would like to talk to all of you. Over the weekend, I have become a Christian, and I am going to heaven. And I want you to know that you are all going to hell. And they were like, man, get out of here. God had done some radical things. I mean, the day after I became a Christian, God began to just peel the scales off my eyes. See, you gotta understand something. Guys, when I was doing drugs, I never saw color. I never saw green grass. I never saw brown dirt. I never saw a blue sky. And God, because see, drugs will do that to you. Put a haze and a film over your life, over your eyes. And when I became a Christian, the next day I was going to church, because I remember that night, the lady told me after I gave my life to Christ, she said, tomorrow morning, there was a Saturday night, tomorrow morning you need to go to church. And I said, okay. And I got up the next morning, I got all dressed up, I was sharp as a tack. I thought you had to be that way going to church. And I was walking across the field, and I remember seeing the brown dirt for the first time in my life. And I started crying. And I was like, God, that brown dirt is so beautiful. I can't believe it. And the grass and the sky was blue. And God began to work in my life, and God began to change my life. And from that day forward, my life has been different. All because, listen, God so loved the world. God so loved Rodney. God so loved, and he took me just like I was, with all my baggage, with all my problems, and he set me free, and he changed my life, and he gave me hope, and I met my wife the same day. He gave me a beautiful wife, Elvira's her name, y'all. Matter of fact, I'd be in trouble if I don't tell you. She told me to tell you tonight, hey. Y'all need to say hey to my wife. Now, how did I teach y'all? Come on now, you're messing up. How did I teach you? How do you do it? And it's a joy to be a Christian. I am so happy to be a Christian. What is up with people who think that it's boring being a Christian? Being a Christian is the best thing I've ever done for my life. Being a Christian, I'm going to wait while you applaud for the Lord. Would you do that? It is awesome being a Christian. God has the power to change our lives and to do things in us that we cannot do for ourselves. And he doesn't do it because we're worthy. And he doesn't do it because we're good enough and smart enough and by golly, people like us. Amen. He just does it because he's God and he's just like that. And I'll tell you something. God will work in you too. God's going to work in your community. The gospel message, the gospel's coming to your community. The good news, God is going to set people free. Just like he set me free, and just like he set many of you free. He's done the work. What do we need to do? We simply need to respond by believing. We respond by repenting. And we respond by receiving the gospel message. Our last and final point tonight, God's purpose. Page 11, got to move on in your impact books. Page 11, God's purpose, the purpose of God. God, listen, has created every single person with an innate desire to worship. Did you know that? God's created men to worship. The question is not whether we worship something. Some people say, well, I don't worship anything. Oh, yeah, you do. Where I come from in Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, there are more PhDs per capita in that area than any place else in the country. And people worship the God of the intellect there. People worship money. People worship sex, drugs, rock and roll. People worship all kinds of things. It's Sunday. People were out there worshiping while they polished their cars. Every man worships something because God put an innate desire in man to worship. Man perverts that by worshiping something other than God. And they began to worship the creature more than the creator, Romans chapter 1. But every man worships something. You know, I think it was Bob Dylan who said, you got to serve somebody. It might be the devil, it might be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. Everybody worships something. God, the Bible's very clear, has set eternity in the hearts of men. And it's just not believers, but that's all men, because that's the feeling of eternity is within us, all men. God created us to worship. Now, what we need to remember, and listen close, there's no right style of worship, however, there is a right kind of worship. There's no right style of worship. You know, I've had the privilege, Ron and I, this week of being in many different churches, and we've seen all kinds of worship. Worship here is great at Calvary Chapel. You know, I'm a Calvary Chapel pastor, so I think it's just off the chain. I learned from the kids. And worship was wonderful tonight, and the praise band is wonderful. But this week, we've been in churches where, you know, they had a guy on a piano, and he was just sitting there worshiping the Lord. And earlier today, they had a more traditional service, and people were standing and singing traditional songs, and that was worship as well. And when you get to the Harvest Crusade and get to the event that night, that weekend, there's going to be different styles of worship, and it's all good as long as we're worshiping the Lord and singing to Jesus. You know, I like to tell people in my office, I keep stacks of different types of Christian music because there's a lot of bad music out there nowadays. I see the kids at our youth group probably have maybe, I don't know, 300-400 junior high, high school kids, and I'll see them and I'll walk up to them, what you listening to in your iPod? You know, maybe I get, you know, Officer, Pastor Rodney, and they'll tell me some style of music that I know that they like. I'll tell them, come with me. Go to my office. I've got stacks of Christian stuff because they've got some good Christian hip hop out there, and they got some good Christian heavy metal, believe it or not. They've got some good Christian heavy metal stuff, and they've got some good Christian music out there, and it's all different styles of worship. Some churches have drums and some don't. The point is, listen, there's no right style of worship. However, there is a right kind of worship. In regards to worship, in the middle of page 12, Greg Laurie said this, true worship is not merely the singing of songs to God, but it's the living of our lives in a way that pleases God. I love that. In fact, our singing and our prayers are but the outward manifestation of a life lived daily for the glory of God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. Here's some key elements of worship. The fruit of our lips, the giving thanks to his name, and don't forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Here we have some key elements of worship that Hebrews 13, 15 through 16 breaks it down for us. Number one, the fruit of our lips. The sacrifice of praise and singing and worshiping God, listen, is something that is very particular to the Christian faith. We worship God through song. We sing to our God. We sing about our God. We sing for our God. We worship him, offering a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, to God. And when those non-believers listen, that you're going to invite, because remember, at the stadium there's, I always get the name, Stanislaw. Is that how you say it, y'all? What is it? Stanislaw? Pastor Damien, what is wrong with these people? What have you done to them? They're all up here going, what's up with that? I don't know. You're scaring me. And when you get them to that place, and get this, we don't want this to be a big Christian rock concert, a big Christian free concert. Listen, we want this to be an evangelistic event. We want you to invite non-believers. We want the gospel to get in the ears of people who don't know Jesus. So when you bring those non-believers and they come into that stadium and they see believers of every nation, tribe, and tongue and people, I'm so blessed right now. I'm looking at an audience full of people from different backgrounds. I'm looking at black people and white people and people of Hispanic and Asian descent. And I'm looking at all kinds of people. And it's such a blessing for me to see this, because I'm going to tell you something. Down south, believe it or not, racism and segregation is still alive and well. Did you know? It is. I got down there, and one of the things I discovered is that Sunday is the most segregated day of the week, and 11 o'clock is the most segregated hour of that day, as black people and white people don't go to church together. But I'm happy to say, here it is 12 years later, and our church is probably one of the few, one or two, out of, I don't know, 1,600 churches that is very diverse and very racially diverse. Mixed church. As a matter of fact, it's so diverse, the newspapers and the TV reporters came to do a story on our church, and they wanted to know, how is it, now you've got to tell us, how is it that you got the white people to come to church? I said, well, you really want to know. Well, what is the program? What is the program? They want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. And I said, you know what? How did you teach them this? I said, you know, I don't teach people. This whole racial reconciliation thing is big down south, y'all. And I said, I don't teach people about racial reconciliation. I teach people that we have already been reconciled at the cross of Jesus Christ by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now we just need to learn to be family. We need to learn to be family. Because we are family, man. We are family. See, y'all think Sister Sledge came up with that. No, we are family because the blood of Jesus Christ has brought down the walls that segregated and separated us. He's brought down the wall between the Jew and the Gentile, or the black and the white. And now we're just family. Now we just need to learn how to live together. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And when people see that, and I'm looking at that now, and the non-believers come in and they hear you singing and they hear you worshiping God together, that's going to be a testimony to them. It's going to be awesome, because they never heard that before. You know, some people, you got to understand, is going to come to that stadium and they've never been in church. They wouldn't darken the doors of a church. What a great opportunity you have to invite them to say, come. And when they see you offering the fruit of your lips to God in one voice, singing and praising God, it's going to begin to touch their hearts, because that's what worship does. Worship is the hammer that God uses to begin to break up the heart. So when the seed of the word of God is sown, it's sown in good ground, watered by the Holy Spirit to bring forth fruit. That's what's going to happen. Key element of worship, the fruit of our lips. Not only that, but Hebrews tells us, doing good and sharing. The top of page 13 in your syllabus. Doing good and sharing. That's a key element of worship. And then also giving. Listen, giving our tithes and giving our offerings and giving our special offerings are key elements of worship. And then serving. Giving your time and your energy and serving the Lord. As ushers and follow-up counselors and prayer partners and all of the things that you guys are doing in this church, all these are key elements of worship. And then finally, guys, I want to tell you, as I wrap up the last session, give me your attention, I wrap up the last session for this week, and You have a great opportunity ahead of you. You have a wonderful opportunity to worship God like you've never worshiped Him before. You've got an opportunity that maybe you haven't been much of a prayer person. You got a great opportunity now to become a prayer person. Begin to pray for those people that you're going to invite. And then you take that invitation and you put it in their hands and you invite them to the event. And don't just give it to them and tell them, here, take this, I'll see you there. Invite yourself to come and pick them up and take them with you. Because I don't know about you, but if I was a non-believer and somebody invited me to something like that, I might go and I may not go. But if you say, hey, I'll come and get you and we'll go together, well, then I'm more likely to go. And if they're still resistant, then offer to buy them something to eat prior to going. Ain't nobody gonna turn down no food. Can I get a witness? I'm gonna go get something to eat. We can go see Jesus later, but let's get a bite first. And they'll go with you. And it's a great opportunity for you to invite people and to bring them along. You've got a great opportunity to get that bumper sticker on your car. It really does work really quickly. My son was pulled over. I guess he had a light out in the back of his car. My son, Rodney Jr., is 6'4", and he weighs 3,000 pounds. and he got pulled over by a cop for, a bumper light out, or I don't know what happened. And the cop comes up, and Rodney Jr. tells a story, and he's a great kid. Rodney Jr. tells a story that the cop says, your light's out, and he saw the bumper sticker on the back of Rodney's car. So he says, what's up with this Greg Laurie person? What's up with this Greg Laurie person? I mean, I see the bumper stickers all over the place. And Rodney says, well, he's an evangelist and he's going to come and he's going to tell everybody all about Jesus and stuff like that. And Rodney started talking about Greg, just like Ron said, started talking about Greg and it ended up talking about Jesus. And Rodney got a chance to share the gospel with the police officer. And I said to him, I said, Rodney, did he still give you a ticket? He said, yeah. I said, come on, man. But it's a great opportunity that the bumper sticker really does work. And I'll tell you something, it does really peel off in one piece. It really does. And if it doesn't, you can send a bill to Greg Laurie. And I think I'm going to get in trouble for saying that. I really do. And it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing for you. I'm so excited for you guys. I'm so excited for what the Lord's going to do here. It's going to be a blessing to your community. Your churches are going to grow. People are going to come to know Christ and they're going to need to go somewhere. And when people come to your church, welcome them. Love on them. Be a blessing to them. Be a blessing to your pastor. You'll be a blessing to your community. God's going to do a great work. Thank you so much for having us here this week. And I've really enjoyed myself. And I'm going to be praying for you. And Lord willing, I'll get to come back and be a part of the crusade maybe a Sunday night or a Saturday and Sunday night. So Lord bless you guys. Thank you so much for having me. And let's pray together. Father, we love you today. God, we bless you. We thank you. We honor you. Saints, would you mind quietly standing to your feet? And Lord, as we stand to our feet in your presence, we thank you for that. And God, we bless you today. And I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that's working in the Central Valley. And I thank you, Lord, for how you're going to do an awesome work here. It's going to change so many lives. It's so exciting to see and to be a part of this. And God, I pray your blessings on each of the churches that are involved and the pastors of those churches. God, continue to give them vision as they lead and love your people. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people agree and said,
amen.
Now we should give the Lord a hand. Could we do that? A really big one. Thank you, Lord. I am supposed to remind you to tell you that there are pastors available. Is this right, Pastor Damien? There are pastors available after service, and they're going to meet in... right in front of me. That's what I was doing. I was going, they're going to meet right here. Y'all see that? I was right there. I'm right with it, right? If you need prayer, please come up front, and we would love to pray for you. I think I'm going to stand down here, too, and pray for you. So, what? Bring your books back. Oh, yeah, bring your... Next week... Oh, I got to tell you this. Next Sunday night, you are going to be so blessed. Pastor Gary Galbraith is coming. He will be doing your Impact Week 2, and you are going to be so blessed. He is so really good. When he was at our church, I kid you not, I was on vacation, and I got back, and people came up and said, oh, Pastor Ronnie, Pastor Gary was so wonderful. He was so wonderful, like 100 people. This one person came up and says, Pastor Ronnie, guess what? I said, yeah, Pastor Gary was wonderful. Which is why he's never coming back to this church. And no, he was really, really good. You don't want to miss it. Bring your books back next week. I think that's it. Lord's blessing to you. Thank you for coming. Have a great evening.